MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Hannes van der Berg. He is co-head of SA Equity and Multi-Asset at 91. Hannes, appreciate the time. The JSE, so far year to date, spectacular year, some 30% up for the index. But this really masks a story. We've got resources, most notably PGMs and gold, up over 100%. Banks, what, mid-single digit, retail actually down. It really is a tale of multiple parts for our market.
Yeah, that's correct. If you look underneath the 30% return that we've seen for the index, as you say, for those sectors, the resources sector is up 105, driven by Anglo Gold, 170% up, Goldfields, 178% up, Impala Platinum, those stocks are up 180, 140, 130%. The reason for that is because the commodity prices, gold's up 55% for the year, platinum 76, palladium's 55. You've seen quite aggressive upgrade cycles to earnings expectations for those stocks. And then on the other side, you mentioned the retailers. Foschini recently came out. They're only able to grow their top line by 5%. Their South African retail top line by 5%. And it's difficult in that environment if you have to control costs for your earnings to stay stable. In fact, it's going backwards because it's, the costs and the margins are squeezing.
Take the point on that. And I mean, this is thin, and let's touch on the banks for a moment. I mean, the banks are not on demanding PEs. Some Nedbank and Absa are pretty much at book value. Surely this sense suggests there is some compelling value in some of the non-resource stocks on our market, the sort of SA Inc. And SA Banking.
Yes, the resources stocks are about 30% of our index. So the fact that they're up 100%, that explains why we are up 30%. And the argument or the case here to be made is that the rest of the market is looking very attractive. You mentioned the valuations of banks. They grow their earnings somewhere between 8 and 10%. They give you a dividend of 6 or 7%. So I often joke about it. You can put your money in the money market and get 7.5% return on money market, or you can just buy a South African bank. You're going to get a dividend yield of 7%. You've got earnings growth of somewhere around 10%, and they're trading very attractively priced.
And there are some big picture tailwinds coming. We've got a rand that's looking better. We've got our bond yields well improved. And inflation, I mean, came in a little higher, 3.4. But that 3% target is going to help us potentially in terms of re-rating and maybe even some foreign investors.
Yeah, if you take a step back, 2 years ago, our rand was closer to 1950 or 20.
Yeah.
Our bonds were trading closer to 11.5, 12. Today it's 17.30 on the rand, and our bond yields are around 9. And these stocks are still trading at valuations way more attractive than pre all of this sort of positive news coming through. So foreigners, I think that the last hurdle for them is we need GDP growth and we need job creation. So they want to see closer to 2% GDP growth, because that growth part is what will make them allocate capital towards us.
Yeah, it is that 2%. It is that GDP, which is not yet being forecast even for next year. And I imagine there's also around policy certainty. I mean, the government of national unity has kind of disappeared from the headlines, which is frankly a good thing, because every time they were in the headlines, it was fighting. But we need more of it.
Yeah, touch wood. As things stand, we haven't had another issue that makes the unhappy marriage of the government of national unity stick together. They know they've got the next election up ahead, municipal elections, and then national elections. So they all want to make this work for the next round of elections. But you're right, headlines are being driven by our 3% inflation target, sort of good news starting to come through on our fiscal framework, with better tax collection, and the fact that these platinum and gold companies are doing so well means the company income tax fiscal situation will benefit from that. So you're right, we're focusing on the right economic issues. As I said, what we now need is confidence from companies to spend, confidence from companies to employ, and hopefully that can deliver 2% and above GDP growth, maybe not in 2026, but in 2027 and 2028.
And some of the risks, and I mean, we get them locally, but there's some global risks that could impact our market, if not necessarily directly impacting our growth. It could hit the rand, it could hit our bonds. You know, I think around the AI trade, I think around US-China tariffs. I mean, there are different risks out there beyond our control as an economy and a country.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There's a lot. There's always a lot to worry about. Risk assets and equity markets often like to sort of refer to it as the wall of worry. People will remind us of geopolitical risks and Trump and trade tensions and bubbles and AI, etc. But the way I look at it is, risk assets and equity markets have done well. SA up 30%, the rest of the world up 15% for the year, and we're getting interest rate cuts. It's a very unique environment where central banks are giving more liquidity to the market because of labor market concerns, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, I think that provides quite a constructive backdrop, even though we are, as you mentioned, all those risks you highlighted, we keep a close eye on them. Companies globally are doing quite well. Risk assets, equity markets are doing quite well, and therefore we still remain constructive.
The other risk, and I'm not going to ask you to try and predict prices, but of course, you know, gold has doubled this year. PGMs are up probably 70-80% on their spot prices. I mean, that's a risk if they start to sort of, I don't know, not even collapse, just return to more normalized levels. There is a risk there which wouldn't impact the retailers, wouldn't impact the bankers, but would make our market look less exciting.
Yeah, you're 100% right. So we try and look at what variables sort of will indicate to us that there are cracks appearing. So we try and follow the US labor market quite extensively, trying to see if there's weakness coming through for the US consumer, because the US economy, 70% is driven by the US consumer. Yeah. We're trying to stay close to dollar. I think it's fairly consensus that people want to be underweight dollar because of Trump and politics and everything, fiscal situation, the big, beautiful bill and uncertainty with regards to trade. So that's very consensus to have a weak dollar. So what if the dollar bottoms and starts to strengthen? Then, as you say, the gold trade, our rand strength, a lot of those questions will be asked and things can go the other way. There's obviously still geopolitical risks around which we have to monitor. Inflation stays in the background and we have to watch out, you know, if inflation starts to pick up because of all these tariff and trade uncertainties. Those are some of the risks that we can't ignore. And if they start going the other way, I'm pretty sure the markets will move in that direction, which means, you know, the gold price lower, gold stocks give back, platinum stocks give back some of the returns that they've made. So it might be a time, you know, if I look at it for some consolidation, that would be healthy if we can see some of that.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And of course, I mean, the markets are about risks. It's not a case of no risks. It's a case of spotting them. We'll leave it there. Hannes van den Berg, co-head SA Equity Multi-Asset 91. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.